So we've been looking at this series of characteristics of a mature Christian. Naturally, as I'm prepping for my sermon, I turn to Google and I say, what is the definition of maturity? And I find this definition that I really like that you find in psychology. And in psychology, it says that maturity is the ability to respond to the environment in an appropriate manner. I like that. I find that interesting. So how can we translate that for Christians? We can look at 2 Corinthians 4, 7 to 9. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. And I'm looking specifically that as Christians, we have a hope that endures, which feels pretty appropriate for Palm Sunday, as we're looking forward to the death and resurrection of Christ. So as Christians, how do we respond to our environment because we have a hope that endures? I want to focus on 1 Peter 1, 3 to 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. I'm going to look at 3 points from this passage. That as a mature Christian, we have been changed. Therefore, we act differently. We place more value in our hope in Christ over earthly desires. And even while facing trials, we can see the bigger picture. So start with verse 3. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We are changed, therefore we act differently. In Romans 12, 1 to 2, it tells us to be transformed. In 2 Corinthians 5, 17, it states that we are a new creation. Growing up, I grew up in a Christian home, and I thought that acting differently meant following a set of rules religiously. Don't drink, don't smoke, don't do drugs, don't swear, don't stay up past your curfew, don't lie, don't cheat, don't jaywalk. But I was looking around at my friends and I realized I wasn't really making Jesus attractive, and I was like, why not? Because I knew he was great. So I had to take a step back and look at my heart and look at my motives. And I realized that I was just living to follow rules. And that's not what living for Christ means. Living for Christ means that Christ loves me, that he died for me, that he rose from the dead. And when I live in that love, and that I love him back, I had no need to prove myself. I didn't need to go to the bush parties. I didn't need to be vulgar. I didn't need to disrespect my parents. What I needed was to be confident in Christ's plan for me and his love for me. Therefore, the living hope that has been birthed in us changes us to be more like Christ. It's less of me, more of him. Less of my plans, more of his plans. And when we press into Christ, then we start finding that our desires start to look more like his desires. We build each other up for good rather than pleasing ourselves. We forgive others because we have been forgiven. People are broken. And out of their brokenness, they hurt us. But if we're honest, we are also quite broken. But we have been forgiven, so we can forgive others. We respond with empathy rather than criticism. And we are content rather than comparing our lives to others. And why do we value these things? It's because Christ places value in them. Colossians 3:12-14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because of this living hope, we are changed, and therefore, we act differently. Moving to verse 4. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. As Christians, we need to place more value in our hope in Christ rather than our earthly desires. This earth is perishable. My husband Jordan has a horrible habit of taking food containers, which is good, you know, you bring lunch, but he doesn't bring them back that day. Actually, he doesn't bring them back until they are a complete science experiment. And it is disgusting. It's like, I won't touch it. I'm like, you deal with that. That is your problem. Food goes bad. There's bacteria and mold. Like, the mold, it's alive. It's growing. And our food perishes. But our hope in Christ never molds. It is as good today as it was yesterday, and it will be good forever. This earth is defiled. A few weeks ago, I was at my front door talking to my neighbor. I shut the door, had to go look at something out in the back. And when I came back in, my front door was open. And we're able to determine that no one actually came in. They probably realized people were still home. But the place that I'm supposed to technically feel the safest was violated. Some of you have had this experience being broken into your house, your car, right? And then you don't feel as safe. But our hope in Christ is safe. It remains whole, pure, and perfect. It cannot be marred or tainted. And this hope is unfading. I think of this world fading away. My best example is growing older. Even now, I just recently decided I'm going to dye my hair. I've been graying since I was 20, but I need to hold off until I was near 30. Right? But it's because I'm trying to mask the fact that I'm getting older, right? It shows in our face, our hair. When we're in an accident, we don't spring back as quickly as we used to. But our hope in Christ does not fade away. It remains as good today as it was thousands of years ago when Jesus rose from the dead. It is unfading. Christ actually warns us of putting too much value in earthly possessions. Looking at Luke 12, 15 to 21. Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grains and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty. Plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, be merry." But God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God." What are things that we value that can perish? The housing market, job security, robotic plane. Our friendships even. Our marriage and family, they can even perish. Just the very stuff that we own. And these things aren't bad. But it's when we place our hope in these things that we can become disappointed, frustrated, angry, and hurt because they won't last. But our hope in Christ will stand. It is imperishable, undefiled, unfading. Romans 5:5, "And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us." An inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. We need to place more value in our hope in Christ than our earthly desires, because our hope is eternal. Last verse, verse 5. "Who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." We have been changed. Therefore, we act differently. Because we have this hope that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, we can face trials and hardships because we can see the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is God's kingdom, now into eternity. This life is not it. This life is temporary. It is perishable. It's defiled. It's fading away. And in case of allergies, many of you know that Jordan and I struggle with fertility. And our last one ended in a miscarriage. And that was a hard time. That was grief that I have never felt before. But during that time, God took me back to a conversation we had had years ago. And I can remember where I was standing. It was so vivid that, would it matter? My identity in Christ, my hope in Christ, does it make a difference if I never have biological children? Does that change who I am in Christ? Does that change my hope in Christ? And the answer is no. And that's not to invalidate my grief, my hurt, my struggles. But in that time that I felt like I was drowning, I could take a step back and I could see the bigger picture. If we have a hope that endures, how do we respond to our environment in an appropriate manner? This means that even in our current circumstances, infertility, job insecurity, being a single parent, going through a divorce, having tons of children driving you crazy and not letting you sleep, struggling with mental health, your physical health, losing a loved one, and all these things, we can still build others up. We can forgive others. We can respond with empathy and even be content in our hardships. I've been very inspired by those around me to live this life. I look at my parents, and they're nearing retirement, but they come up about once a month, and they're just the most hospitable people you will ever meet. No one believes Jordan when he says he's looking forward to seeing his in-laws. No one believes him. But what they don't know is that my parents have this, I call it almost like a little bubble of hospitality, and wherever they go, they just like infect you and like invade their hospitality on you. And they could hoard it, but they come and they clean my house and they watch Edmund and they do my dishes. And my joke with my mom is one day I will cook you all the meals when you come, but you'll never let me. I look at my in-laws, and when it was a young family and they didn't have very much, they were so overwhelmed by the generosity of God in their lives that when it came back to giving back to God, it was natural. I look at Selva, she's here today, and you just go through surgery again. And you go through so many medical health issues, but every time a doctor might give you a bad report, it's kind of like, that's unfortunate. But let God be glorified in this situation, and every time he is. And when I had my miscarriage, I had friends who were struggling just as hard, but didn't blink to come and bless Jordan and I. And this is what it means to be a Christian, seeing the bigger picture. If I could actually get the band to come up. Actually, can I have everyone stand? I have been deeply challenged while writing this sermon to take a look again at myself. I have been changed. Therefore, am I acting differently? Is there more of Christ than me? Am I desiring what Christ desires? Am I building others up, forgiving as I am forgiven, responding in empathy, and being content where I am? Am I placing more value in my hope in Christ than all the stuff that will perish and fade away? Am I remembering the bigger picture in my day-to-day struggles, even in just my day-to-day walk? Can I in turn challenge you to to look at yourself. Check your motives, your actions, your perspective. Because we have a hope that endures, we as Christians can respond to our environment in an appropriate manner. I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me.
Our fight is with the way.